Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Ashley Lang broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road with Straight Talk.
Selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road, across the street from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. We also want to thank Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Well, today's my lucky day. I have two different guests talking about two completely different topics. The first one's going to be here just for a short little bit because we cannot not talk to Charlie Ruffalo today, who is the owner of Substation 2, who is celebrating his 39th anniversary, or Substation 2 is celebrating their 39th anniversary. So congratulations, Charlie.
Well, thank you. It's been a fun ride. 39 years.
It has. And thanks for letting us do this here every Friday.
Absolutely. I love it.
Makes it fun. So 39 years. What has changed in the last 39 years?
What hasn't changed? I mean, really, since COVID, things have accelerated. But just the way the technology we have, the information, the way we work with our team, it's a light years different from what it was back then. And, you know, if you don't want to get into the costs, how much things cost now. I mean, when I opened up, I think a small ham and cheese sandwich was 90 cents.
Wow.
And what is it now? Five, six bucks or something like that?
Something like
small
that,
small ham and cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nuts. A large 19, you can get it for like $1.80, I think it was. Mm.
39 years ago, 39 90 years cent ago. Sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. What would you say to your guests? Or do you call them guests? Do you call them customers? What do you call them here? What do we call our friends? Oh, what do we call
yes,
them?
Yes, our guests.
So what would you say to them for supporting you for the last 39 years?
Y'all rock. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how thankful I am for the support I had in this community. Mm-hmm. You've rallied behind me through thick and thin over the years. Mm-hmm. Hard times, good times. Y'all have been there, and I thank you so much, York County, Rock Hill, and all you mugs out there.
I think what's so great about it is I, of course, ate here in college when I was right across the street. Now I'm able to be here every Friday and to see all of the people that come in. It's a wide community. You see all different demographics. You see kids, you see senior citizens, you see African Americans, you see white people, you see Chinese people. I mean, it's like a melting pot right here at Substation 2, and it really shows the greatness of the community that we live in. And I was riding by here. I told you I go get my drink when I leave Palmetto Mornings. And the people were wrapped around the building this morning because you were giving away some things. And I'll let you talk about that here in a second. But again, it showed that portrait picture of your guest. And I think that's so cool. I think it's really, really cool and shows that, you know, they appreciate what you've done, not only the great food, but the camaraderie that's here.
Right. Yeah, they've supported me great. What we did this morning was I had a card made where we gave away one free sub a month for a year to the first 39 customers. And then the next 39 customers got a 39% off discount card they could use one time for whatever they wanted.
That's great.
So we had people lined up. I didn't count them. But I did count them last year. We had like 89 people waiting to get in.
Mm. It was a lot.
Yeah, we opened up early today because it was hot. We didn't want people standing out there.
Yeah.
What a fun day. We have cake.
I was about to say, even if you didn't get your discount card or if you didn't get your 39% off, anybody can come and grab cake today.
We have cake and cupcakes. Please come and get it, because if you don't, I'm going to eat it, and we all don't need to see more of Charlie Ruffalo.
Any last parting words that you want to say for folks?
No. Thank you, Rock Hill. Y'all rock.
All right. Thank you, Charlie. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ashley.
Happy 39th anniversary.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Jaylen, for giving me some time.
If you will slide that over. Yes. Okay. So our next guest is Jaylen Lowe, and Jaylen is a historic Brattonsville African American History Interpreter. Did I get that right?
Yes,
that's,
ma'am.
It's a long title, but I wanted to make sure that I got it right.
Well, thank you.
So we want to talk through Historic Brattonsville, what it means to be an interpreter, mm-hmm. and then, of course, some upcoming events that you have happening at Brattonsville. But we're going to start from the beginning. I told you we were going to start from the very beginning and kind of go down. For people who might not be familiar with Historic Brattonsville, what would you tell people that Historic Brattonsville is and what they need, why they need to come? We'll start there.
So Historic Brattonsville is located just outside of Rock Hill, South Carolina, but literally down the street from it. It's a, we consider ourselves an open air museum.
Okay.
So we have interpreters there, like myself, who are dressed out, who are on site, and people can come and visit and learn about the 18th and 19th centuries of the backcountry of South Carolina. And we start kind of in a timeline. So we have the Revolutionary period, the Antebellum period, and we talk about Reconstruction as well.
So briefly touch on what each of those periods are for maybe people who aren't history buffs.
Okay, yeah. So American Revolution is whenever there was the Patriots and Loyalists fighting against each other because the Patriots wanted to start their own country, which would become the United States of America. And this year is actually the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution. So people are really excited for that, as are we, understandably so. And the battle was fought there, is Battle of Williamson's Plantation in 1780 of July. But we call it the Battle of Huck's Defeat.
Right.
So in July, we do a reenactment there. Antebellum period, kind of the time of peace. There's some stuff going on, of course, but it's 19th century period. And then Reconstruction is a time following emancipation of enslaved people. So we have an exhibit there focused on a man named Captain James Williams and talking about sharecropping and different things that are going on. Kind of stop around 1871 is where our story on the site ends, but it continues, of course, with our descendants. So occasionally, as you'll see throughout the month of June, July, and so on, we have descendants of the enslaved people and of the Bratton family that come back and visit us and share their family stories.
So how does one person mm-hmm. decide, hey, I want to go to Brattonsville and become an interpreter? What does that what does that look like? How did you end up where you ended up?
Yeah, so I actually went to Winthrop University, go Eagles, and I graduated with a degree in sociology and African American studies. I graduated during the pandemic, so I was looking for a job, and I came across this title, African American History Interpreter. And I had no idea what a historical interpreter was, but it said that I could use my degree, and I was like, that's cool, because typically in my field, you don't get to use your degree. So I applied.
I made your parents happy, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes, very happy. So I applied, and they liked me enough, and I've been here almost 3 years now. So as we were chatting a little bit earlier, we interpret history. So we kind of, we'll explain what the site was, we'll answer anybody's questions if we're able to, and we bring the past to the present is basically what we do.
And you do that in a way that it's like they are part, they're walking through what history
right.
used to look like. Like
right.
you're in full costume
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
you can go out to Brattonsville and also see like war reenactments and that mm-hmm. kind of thing as well.
Yeah, it's very hands-on, and as a person who learns hands-on, that's very good for me. It's good for kids. People can come and get more details that they couldn't get in a book, and you get to see where people actually walked and where they worked and hear their specific stories as well that you might not get in a history book.
So what does a typical day look like for you out at Historic Brattonsville?
Yeah, so our site opens up around 10 o'clock or so. We're on site before that getting ready for everything. We do put on historic clothing. We don't do first person, but we do the activities and things like that that people have been doing historically. So like today, for example, I was cooking and I was going to do corn pudding and peach fritters. So we focus on 19th century today. So people can come and visit, and they'll visit me in the kitchen, and I'll tell them what the building is, what recipes I'm cooking. We can't feed anybody, unfortunately, but we can share the recipes so people can try it at home.
So what is
like
corn
that.
Pudding?
So it's corn to get off the cob,
okay.
and then you mix it with cream, flour, a little bit of sugar, salt, pepper, and then you bake it in the oven. And then it's It's kind of like
kind
a
like corn casserole.
Yeah, corn casserole is a good
one. Is that what
yeah,
we would call
yeah,
it?
Yes, that's a modern interpretation.
Okay, got it. Got it.
So, and then peach fritters. I love doing fritters. You just cut up anything, bacon, peaches, whatever, and you fry it with flour, sugar, a little bit of butter, an egg, and then it's a quick little snack. So.
And I know that historic Brattonsville really it focuses on kids and
yes.
kids really learning, you know, history in a way that you said.
Right.
Sometimes it's hard. History's sometimes hard because mm-hmm. a lot of times we learn that where we have to just look at books or we have to read, but to be fully immersed mm-hmm. in the history, it takes it kind of to a whole nother level. I'm one of those kind of kids, and I feel like that's like taking a coloring book and actually kind of coloring in it and making it come to life because mm-hmm. they're watching what you do. What are some activities, hands-on kind of activities that kids can do, and are kids out there all day, every day? What do some of your programming look like?
So we primarily have most kids that come out during the school year because we have field trips and things like that. And our programs, we do militia drills with them. So they get to tow a wooden gun and see and practice how people historically would have been marching.
Mm-hmm.
We have candle dipping we do occasionally. If we're cooking, we might let them mix something up. Help us in the garden. We sometimes do watercolor painting and things like that. We do an animal feeding throughout the week occasionally so the kids can come and learn about the animals. And we have lambs, we have piglets. So we're like, they're, you know, kids just like you. So we have a lot of things. We try, with interpretation, you want to try and make everything that you do something that someone could come and try out. Or they have things that they can touch and feel and see it. So with kids, especially if they're learning history, you can learn more specifics and they might remember the activity, maybe not necessarily the history behind it. But then as they get older, we always have people that come back and visit and they're like, I went on a field trip here when I was younger and I'm bringing my kids out. We had a grandmother and a woman the other day who are history teachers who brought their students out and then the woman brought her child out and we did an animal feeding for them.
Oh, that's cool.
It was very cool to see the generations that keep coming back to Brattonsville.
What are some of the comments that you hear from the kids or maybe mm-hmm. the teachers when they're out there? Like, are they amazed at how it works and what
right.
kids used to have to do versus what they do now? What are some of the comments that you hear?
We get a lot of jaws dropping for certain comments. We get a lot of kind of hard for people or kids to grasp that we're talking about people from 250 years ago, so it's kind of, are they still alive? And we're like, well, they aren't, but we talk about it. They're fascinated even by, because houses were a lot smaller for typical families even. A lot of people lived all together, even families of 10 people all in the same room. It's especially when we're talking about enslaved children, the work that they had to do, the laws that were in place, rights for different people as well were a lot different. And people were always continuously outside, and they didn't have microwaves and an iPad and television,
and
electricity. It is
or
hot.
Or cold.
Yes, or cold. Yeah. Or with our animals, they were like, they're stinky and stuff like that. But I think people appreciate being able to immerse themselves in things that happened a while ago, or we have people who've never seen a farm.
Right.
So it's a different experience, or people from different parts of the world that come and want to learn about Southern history, and we give the opportunity for them to do that.
And I think what's cool too, and sometimes this is even hard for adults to really wrap their brains around, is that, you know, they were a family who really lived there. The Brattons really lived out there, and to
right.
think that you're standing, you know, where they lived or on their land mm-hmm. is, you know, it makes you kind of stop and think,
in
like,
their
oh,
shoes.
Wow, right,
yeah.
and be in their shoes. Well, I want to jump into real quick, and we'll kind of go through the month. I know that Saturdays at Brattonsville are always exciting. It's a time that
yes.
you always invite folks to come out. And so you're doing some Living History Saturdays that are going to start actually tomorrow,
yes.
June the 7th. So let's start there. We might have to take a quick break in a second, but let's go ahead and start with tomorrow. It's called A Sense of History. Art you can see and touch. So what's tomorrow going to look
yeah,
like?
So with these events, we want to focus on art that were different activities and art forms that people were doing historically, primarily people of African descent, whether they're enslaved or free. So we're doing natural dyeing. So we'll have different dyes, whether it's a turmeric or whatever else, that people can actually see how we do it. They're able to actually purchase a small cotton bag from the gift shop for $1, come dye it themselves and take it home, or try out making corn husk dolls.
Okay.
Which is something that indigenous children were doing, and then they could teach it to enslaved children, and this was a way to use what you grow on the farm to make a toy. Mm. And then they can all take these things with them, take them home. We have them all around our desk that we've made on site. And then we'll have animal feedings at 10:30. We'll do a site tour at 11 and 2 and get you around the entire site. And then we'll do a specific, more in-depth presentation on weaving, tape weaving particularly, which is a woven ribbon, and natural dyeing presentation at 12:30.
Now, are all of these Saturdays, like, do you need to be there right when it opens and starts, or can you kind of come and go? What does that look like? I know that there are some self-guided tours
right,
as well.
Yeah, so we're mainly a self-guided site, so anytime someone shows up there will be something going on, so you don't have to mainly worry like I need to get there at 10 o'clock. But as long as, if you have something specifically that you want to see, all of our information is on our social media, our website, but we'll always have something going on.
All right, well, we're gonna take a quick mid-program break right here real fast, and then we're going to come back and highlight some Juneteenth and Independence Day activities that you also have going on right there at Historic Brattonsville. Again, we're going to take that mid-program break and remind everyone that you're listening to Straight Talk right here live from Substation 2, celebrating their 39th anniversary today, Cherry Road across the street from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax, you're with Founders. And thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And of course, Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy for 60 years, Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road. And what we do here at Substation 2 is fresh subs and salads 6 days a week from 10 in the morning till 9 at night. And how we do it is special. We want everybody out there to come in here today, and we're going to tell them how to do that right here by reading the words. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
We know the type. You like to start early, finish late, make lemon squares, and make payments to the college fund from anywhere in the house. We know you rely on Comporium for the things you rely on most, like a view of the backyard. That's just a bunny, and hundreds of channels to watch, whenever you want. So, you may think of us as just your internet company, but we're more like the I didn't know they could do all that company. Comporium, always ready.
At Piedmont Medical Center, we have the expertise to treat the conditions that cause back pain, and we're focused on delivering compassionate care to help you live life pain-free. In fact, Piedmont Medical Center is designated a Blue Distinction Center for Spine Surgery by Blue Cross Blue Shield for our commitment to quality care and comprehensive spine surgery services. And by the way, Piedmont offers robotic spine surgery, an innovative surgical option that assists the spine surgeon and care team throughout the surgery. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And we are back here live at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across the street from Winthrop. We're chatting with Jalen Lowe, who is an African-American history interpreter at Historic Brattonsville. So, Jalen, before we took that quick break, we were talking about the Living History Saturdays that are going to be taking place at Historic Brightonsville, and so they start tomorrow, yes. And it's going to be a sense of history. It's art you can see and touch. And then we're going to move on to June 14th, which mm-hmm. is the following Saturday, that is really focusing on Juneteenth, Living History Saturdays. Again, the holiday's history and the local connections that we have, traditional ways to celebrate Juneteenth. So if you would, maybe start by maybe giving a quick synopsis in exactly what Juneteenth is and how Historic Brightonsville is rallying around that holiday.
Right. So in 1863, January 1st specifically, President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. And in South Carolina, that somewhat took into effect, but it took 2 years for the Union Army to make their way to Galveston, Texas, to inform the enslaved people there that they had been freed 2 years prior. So Juneteenth is now a holiday that people celebrate. It could be called Jubilee Day, or some would call it Emancipation Day, and now it's a federally, nationally recognized holiday. So Juneteenth is a kind of a put-together name of June 19th. So there are different activities we have going on. We will have descendants there of Historic Brightonsville. Miss Margaret, she should be listening right now, so hi, Miss Margaret. We'll have cooking demos and traditionally recipes that were cooked with things like barbecue. So we'll have pork being cooked over open fire. All of our cooking's done over open hearth cooking. We'll have sorrel tea. So it's a red drink made from hibiscus leaves.
Okay.
And traditionally, a lot of red dishes would be cooked because the colors that are associated with Juneteenth are red, black, and green, or we call it the Pan-African colors. We'll have 18th Infantry interpretation. So 18th Infantry Union officer, our military interpreter, will be there talking more specifics about military. So if anyone's interested in that, we have someone there to talk about that. We'll have blacksmithing as well, which is a trade that people are doing historically. To talk more about jobs that enslaved people or could have while they were enslaved, and then things that they possibly could be doing following emancipation as well. And then we have it's a unique idea where each station has a page of a booklet, mm-hmm. and people can get a page from each station and create their own Juneteenth booklet that talks about the dye colors that we just discussed, talks about the enslaved people who were there, who were freed. We call it the Freedmen's List. It talks more about specifics of Juneteenth, our recipes so they can take them home and try them, and about Captain James Williams, who have an exhibit on there. And it's a nice memento that people can take home, a little piece of history with them.
Is this something that Historic Brightonsville has always focused on during the month of June?
So it's a newer event. This is maybe our fourth year or so, don't quote me. I'm doing this event. We've always discussed, especially in my recent years, we always discuss our African American history there. But Juneteenth is typically a holiday that's more focused on in Texas. And as it's become more recognized, it's spread out. And we at Brighton's want to make sure that we highlight that important part of history.
Great. And then we're going to move on to the following Saturday, which is June 21st. And it's very similar to what tomorrow is going to look like. But this is art you can smell and hear versus see and touch. So yes. How does that differ a little bit?
Yeah, so we're using all of our senses. But with these events, we want our activities we're doing, we want to focus more on things where your smell and your sound is heightened. So we'll have blacksmithing, of course, because that's a lot of metal banging and you're smelling fire. cosmetics and herbs to talk more about the hair care and different things that enslaved women or free black women would be doing. And also white women as well, kind of compare and contrast things going on there. And then herbs, because we have a pretty nice garden with lots of herbs, and how are people using these different things historically. And then, of course, like most days, we'll have an animal feeding, a sight tour at 11 and 2. And then we'll actually do call and response music. So songs like When the Saints Come Marching In and Michael Rowe, Boda Shore, which is from South Carolina, from Charleston area.
Yes.
That people can take part in. And we have a lot of interactive things that people can do.
That's great. And then we're going to end the month with, of course, celebrating Independence Day.
Yes.
So what does that look like? I know that there's something pretty cool that goes on this Saturday.
Yes. So we can't have Independence Day at Brightonsville without a hot air balloon launch. So we'll have launches at 11 and 2. And with Juneteenth and Independence Day, we're talking about two different forms of Independence Day. This one, of course, more associated with 4th of July. So we'll have 19th century refreshments. We'll do toys and games as well. So very interactive things going on there. And Riding with Quill Pens, because we're talking about the American Revolution and Independence. You think of the Constitution. You think of the Declaration of Independence and things like that. So the balloon launch will be at 11 and 2. Patriot Musings will be at 12 and 3. And we welcome guests to bring your own family-friendly libation or toast. Or you can pick up a drink from our gift shop. And then we'll have a site tour, Brattonsville's African American Community and the Pursuit of Liberty at 1 o'clock to talk more about that kind of paradox, or we have people fighting for freedom, but it may not apply to everyone who's living around the colonies and things like that.
I think what's so great about all of these Saturdays is that you could go out every Saturday in June and you're going to get something a little different.
Right, yeah.
And I think that that is a great way, like you said, we've said this a little bit at the beginning of the show, was that it truly is a great place to really immerse yourself into history. If you are a history buff, or if you're not, and you... It's hard sometimes. Like I said, I didn't love history growing up. I think some of that is because it was kind of – I'm from Charleston. So you're always surrounded by it, and it was kind of the same mundane thing over and over. But when you can be fully immersed in it and really see that history come to life, I think it's just a great learning experience. If people do want that learning experience for their groups or for maybe summer camps or school groups, what do people need to do to be able to – do those types of things at Brattonsville?
Yeah, so we have lots of opportunities. If you want to just, a lot of people who visit us, maybe around the holidays, they have family, they want to get out of the house, you can just visit us Tuesday through Sunday. We're open. Sundays is self-guided, but okay. Tuesday through Saturday, we do have interpreters on site doing different things all the time, pretty much 10 to 4 o'clock or so. But on our website, chmuseums.org has our events and our sister site events and things like that going on. Contact information, if you want to book a tour or field trip, you want to look for Doris's information. If you're interested in volunteering, whether you want to be an interpreter or preservation or come take photos, work in the gift shop, work with operations or animals and things like that, you want to contact Angie Alexander. If you're interested in our social media, find CH Museums or Historic Brattonsville on, we're on Facebook, we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, everything.
Who would have thought Historic Brattonsville would be on TikTok?
Yes.
I wasn't expecting you to say that, but that's really cool. Well, real quick, we're pushing up against the end of the show, but this is kind of a twofold question. What do you love about your job at Historic Brattonsville? And again, what would you tell people if they've never been to get them there and why they need to be a part of a day there at Historic Brattonsville?
It's just such a unique experience that you get to... keep saying immerse ourselves, and you get to come and kind of take away that, I guess, barrier or that wall that you might have, or makes it easier, right, to learn history. It makes it more fun, more exciting, and then we are out there. You can sit down and talk with us, and we'll try and answer any questions that some people may have. So I really appreciate the opportunity to focus on African-American history there. And anybody from any walk of life can come out from anywhere, and we'll try to do our best to help you out.
How many visitors would you say you have a month or a year at Historic Brattonsville?
Hundreds. It really depends on the time of year. We're in our busy season right now as far as of our bigger events, because, of course, we have Hucks the Feet coming up and By the Sweat of Our Brows in September. But throughout the school year, we have hundreds and hundreds of kids throughout the week. So we have kids that will bring their parents and families back, which is really nice to see, or they might recognize us out in public, which is cool.
That is cool.
All
right, one more time. If people need to get in touch with Historic Brattonsville, what's the best way to do it? Just real quick.
So you can look up chmuseums.org to see all of our information specifically, or we have an amazing visitor services team if you want to call and ask us any questions, or find us on social media, Historic Brattonsville.
All right, and that's a great way to end our program. Thank you for being here. Straight Talk is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders, and Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. One more time, we want to tell everybody what makes Substation 2 so special on this 39th anniversary day. And it's right here on this t-shirt. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a great weekend. See you on the radio on Monday. Bye.